Welcome to University Matters. This is Patricia Camilleri, Director of Communications and Alumni Relations here at the University of Malta. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research projects, their international networks, about their aims and aspirations. I shall also be hearing from staff and students and visitors to campus about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. I'm very pleased to have with me today on University Matters, Leonie Baldacchino. Leonie is an assistant lecturer at the Edward de Bono Institute here at the university. Just a few words about her academic ITER. She graduated from University of Malta with an honours degree in psychology, which she followed by a distinction in the Master of Arts in Creativity and Innovation. And at present, she is reading for a PhD in Entrepreneurship at Nottingham University Business School in the UK. She also lectures on Entrepreneurship, Creativity, Innovation and Human Resource Management at the Edward de Bono Institute here at the university. She's involved in the coordination and organisation of various entrepreneurship-related incentives at the University of Malta, including the Global Entrepreneur Week and European SME Week events, which are hosted locally here by the university, and also the Entrepreneurship Stream on the Degree Plus programme. Leonie has also lectured on creative thinking and entrepreneurship at the Malta College of Arts, Science and Technology, and was involved for several years in a family-owned group of companies where she held managerial, consultancy and senior research positions. Her research on startup success has recently been published in Canada's Island Studies Journal. Welcome to you, Leonie.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us today. There are a lot of things that we could talk about. Unfortunately, we won't have time to touch on all of them. So perhaps we can start off with a good discussion on this Global Entrepreneurship Week, which is a very, very interesting initiative and something that you've been doing now for a couple of years, I understand.
This is the third year we're involved in this global initiative. Just to give you a little bit of background about the event, Global Entrepreneurship Week, which we know as GEW for short, is an international initiative to promote entrepreneurship all around the world. Safe to say it's the largest celebration of entrepreneurship with millions and millions of participants from all over the globe. The idea behind GEW is to spur firm creation around the globe through a variety of events, life-changing experiences, we hope, really. The goal is to inspire young people to embrace their imagination, their creativity, their innovation, and to make them consider entrepreneurship as a possible career option. This is one of our missions, in fact, at the Institute. We strongly believe that creativity, innovation and entrepreneurship are very important, not just for the economy in economic terms, that is probably a given nowadays, because we know that SMEs are the backbone of the economy. We know that so many startups are the source of job creation and everything else. But I strongly believe that entrepreneurship is also the source of a great deal of self-actualization, because it involves the search to do things in a better way, always seeking improvement. So that is also going to lead to a better quality of life. And that also is one of the aims of the global initiative, along with networking opportunities, innovation and so on.
So you're trying to change a mindset, really, and to give people the opportunity to give vent to the talents, the innovative ideas, the ideas that they have, which perhaps in other way they don't know actually they've got them, but they don't know how to produce them.
That's exactly it. And I come across, with our students, we come across so many brilliant ideas. But then there is a gap between the idea and the actual implementation in a business and a startup, because unfortunately, for some reason, they lack self-confidence. They like the networks as well. Networking is extremely important. And one of the things that is very achievable in these events is to create the right links, the right contacts, the right networks with the people who matter, the people who perhaps have been there, have done that, and are feeling that they're perhaps a little bit out of fresh ideas. And if we can actually create the links with our young people, our budding entrepreneurs, then, you know, the sky's the limit.
Sounds great. So how do we actually, though, connect up with what's going on globally? Because, I mean, I know that you do things here, but then there must be that networking.
Yes. In fact, we have been appointed national hosts for Malta for the third consecutive year, ever since its inception in 2008, largely thanks to Dr. Sandra Dingley's efforts initially, who's our director. She's currently away on sabbatical, but she's still involved. We're still in touch via email, but she's gradually handed over the coordination to me. But yes, we have been national hosts for three consecutive years, and this has actually been extended for another 3 years. So I'm really looking forward to carrying this on an annual basis until at least 2012 before we can renew the memorandum once again. And we coordinate the events here locally, mainly here at university, but we also try to encourage other entities to participate. So if there is anybody out there from any of the other organizations, schools, possibly entrepreneurs as well, who would like to become involved, I would like to encourage them to get in touch, because we would be very happy to create links, not only between academia and other schools, but also between academia and industry. And we have, in fact, been quite successful in doing this in the past years. The first time it was held in 2008, we had a national conference on entrepreneurship and a speed networking event, where we had
a speed networking event.
Well, the idea is basically like speed dating. No, it really is. So you have a very short amount of time. I believe it was about 1 minute for each budding entrepreneur, where they were seated around the large table, and you would go around the more experienced entrepreneurs, pitch your idea in about 30 seconds, and then you would have 30 seconds to receive feedback from the entrepreneurs, which was really good.
Sounds terrifying.
It was actually really, really good fun. We had somebody with a little alarm bell so that every minute you would circulate. But A, it was excellent practice to pitch your ideas. B, you had feedback from a few of Malta's top entrepreneurs, top managers, who really had the know-how. And besides getting the feedback, these young entrepreneurs had the opportunity to show these advanced, experienced entrepreneurs how good they were. And in fact, interestingly enough, there were a couple of the students who were offered jobs by. So they really made a good impression. So that was a really, really good start to our Global Entrepreneurship Week. Last week we had something a little bit different. We had a panel session and discussion where, once again, this was held on campus this year. The first year it was held in on the Valletta campus in the Aula Magna. This year we kept it here on campus because it was, we believed, more accessible to a larger number of students, which is what we want to do. And we, once again, we had 10 of Malta's top entrepreneurs come in, share their idea, share their experiences, tell everybody about how they started up, what were the obstacles perhaps that they encountered and how they overcame them, and to encourage students to start up. And then there was a question and answer session for a brief time after that. And then there was a regular networking session rather than the speed networking session. It was a more informal place where the students could network with the entrepreneurs. And that also went very, very well. We had over 100 students participating.
Wow.
So it was, I was very pleased with the turnout.
And this year?
This year we have, here on campus, we have two events planned. The first event will be held in the Degree Plus slot between 12 and 2 on the Wednesday, 17th November. And I am planning to take students off campus this time to KBIC. We are organizing transport. KBIC is the Cordine Business Incubation Center. We're organizing transport, and the aim is to get them to get a little bit of a more hands-on experience of what the startup life is all about. So they'll have a brief tour of the premises, they'll be able to speak to the entrepreneurs, see what it's like, see what support is available, and I think that should be pretty good fun as well. That is open to all University of Malta students, so I really, really hope we'll have a good turnout once again this year. The only thing is I would like to ask all those students who are interested to please log on to our website and register, because I need to know how many students are turning up in order to organise the transport.
Yes, otherwise I'll have to walk to Cordine.
Cordine isn't exactly around the corner. No. So that will be, the registration form will be on our website, www.um.edu.mt/create. So that's the Edward de Bono Institute website. Another event we're organising, and this one is exclusively for our master's students. Incidentally, we run two master's programmes. One of them is the Master of Arts in Masters in Creativity and Innovation, and the other one is the MSc in Strategic Innovation and Future Creation. And we are having an entrepreneurship games session, we're calling it, for both of these cohorts, where they will be asked by Dr. Greg Hale, who recently joined the University of Malta as a lecturer from the UK. He also has some entrepreneurship background, and he will be organising a kind of competition, a kind of idea generation and business startup competition for these students. The reason why it's limited to the master's students is because they already have some training in entrepreneurship, so they are more well prepared to do this sort of thing.
And these are, your master's students are usually people who are already in the workplace to a certain extent.
Not necessarily. Some of them are, but not necessarily. We do have some students who come straight from their undergraduate degrees. We have some students who would have taken a break from studying and gone back to work and then come back to study full time. And we also have some students who are doing both simultaneously. So there is really a mixture of backgrounds and experiences. But because they get quite a lot of training on idea generation, innovation and entrepreneurship as part of both courses, they are perhaps a little bit more equipped to be able to make the most out of this game competition, call it what you like.
And how many students are you talking about here?
We'll probably have between 25 and 30 students.
The idea of this entrepreneurship, I mean, it's a bit of a, I don't want to be derogatory here at all, it's a bit of a buzzword, which probably means different things to different people. How is it interpreted in your particular context?
It's really good that you're bringing this up, in fact, because the standard view of entrepreneurship is that entrepreneurs are people who start up their own businesses. Very true. People who start up their own businesses are considered to be entrepreneurs. But it's not what entrepreneurship is all about. It's far from it. In fact, one of the reasons why people are perhaps disinterested in entrepreneurship in the first place is because they tell me, but I have absolutely no intention of starting up my own business. It's not what I want to do. I said, well, fine, but what are you planning to do with the rest of your life? Nothing? Well, no, I'd like to get a job. Okay, excellent. That's a very good start. But what do you think are the skills that you need to get a job nowadays? Well, I need good qualifications. I need experience. I said, well, do you know how many other people have qualifications and experience? And they start to look at me a little bit blankly and they say, okay, so where does this lead to? We strongly believe, and I think this is coming out more and more, even simply by looking at the classifieds in the newspaper. Once again, buzzword. They want creativity, they want innovation. Even if you look at companies' websites, they are all talking about how creative, how innovative they are. The point is that if a person wants to make an impact, if a person wants to have that leading advantage over others, even if the intention is to be in employment, the creativity, the innovation, the mindset to be entrepreneurial, not simply in the starting up your own business sense, but in the attitude and the willingness to take your own initiative, to be a leader to a certain extent, to look for better ways of doing things, as I said initially, that is all what entrepreneurship is all about. So entrepreneurship is a really important skill, perhaps, to everybody, not just to those who are wanting to become the next Richard Branson.
That will be the luxury of very few.
Incidentally, Richard Branson is actually one of the entrepreneurs who's very supportive of Global Entrepreneurship Week. There's a really good video clip of him on YouTube, there is a link from the official Global Entrepreneurship website. It's www.unleashingideas.org. And it's interesting to see how some of these big names are really behind this global entrepreneurship.
I'm always fascinated by his story, because he says that the first idea he had for a business lost him £175,000, and that was a long time ago. And I said to myself, how do you pick yourself up and carry on having lost £175,000?
From what I've heard, the American way outlook is you're not really an entrepreneur unless you've failed in inverted commas at least once. Unfortunately, here in Europe, even more so here in Malta, if you open a business and you fail once, you've had it. Whereas it really shouldn't be that way, because entrepreneurship is a learning by doing. You kind of learn from your mistakes, if you like. So if you failed once, then the next time you are much more likely to make it. If you fail twice, ouch, it's going to hurt. But if you make it to the third time, then your chances are even greater, because you learn as you go. You learn what works, you learn what doesn't work, you learn what people who you can trust, who you can't trust, where to go for resources, and so on. The only problem is, once again, the support, perhaps, with regards to financing is one of the common problems.
Risk financing, I mean, because you're talking of risk here, really. Of course. And risk is something that even before the latest crisis, banks weren't terribly keen on going in for, let alone now. So now the support of the startup section is even more important probably than it was before.
Yeah, definitely. And another aspect of entrepreneurship is to see opportunities where others see just problems. So the true entrepreneurs are probably should be looking at the crisis in a positive way, to see what markets have been opening up, to see where the new opportunities are and the opportunities that other people don't see because they are so focused on the negative side. And these are the entrepreneurs who will be budding and flourishing in the years to come, I think.
And I think what you say about the skills base is incredibly important, even for those people who are going to be involved in rather traditional areas of work. I mean, even an institution, perhaps this one, or a government department, or where innovation isn't exactly first on the list, or at least it wouldn't appear to be. And I'm sure there are so many people within that context who have some really good ideas, but don't know how to project them to the people that actually have the clout to do something about them.
The problem is that very often, as you said, I would actually say that all the people in organizations, in any organization, would, if given the chance, have many good ideas on how to make things better, because we have to keep in mind that the world is changing all the time. And things that may have worked 5 years ago, 2 years ago, yesterday, today, won't necessarily work tomorrow. And people know this, because people experience change, so they are very likely to have good ideas on how to make things better. The only problem is that very often these ideas fall on deaf ears from higher up. So it's very important that the change, the drive for creativity and innovation, starts from the top, with an openness and a belief that everybody has the potential for good ideas, if only you would listen.
Very true. I was involved peripherally with an SME Week initiative, and I must say I was very impressed by your students, who actually got up and said their piece and gave their pitch and seemed to really know what they were talking about and had obviously learned even presentation skills, which is also extremely important. I mean, how often has one gone to a conference and there's been somebody who's probably got a super idea or a really wonderful piece of research, and they start talking and all he wants to do is either go to sleep or go and have a coffee, really. So I think that the presentation skills are really important.
Very true. In fact, in our masters, at least in my classes, I do try to encourage them to stand up and speak as much as possible. In semester one of the study units I deliver, at the end of the study unit, the students are required to deliver a presentation which isn't assessed, and they start to look at me like, "Oh, you nasty woman, why are you going to make
us for nothing?"
And then I explained to them, I said, "Listen, this is no pressure practice. Your presentation skills, your speaking skills are as important as anything else. So then they come around to it and they actually enjoy it and they get good feedback, which helps them for their semester two presentations, which then are assessed. And as you said, our students last year did a really, really good job of presenting their business plans at the SME week. We had three or four entrepreneurs and a member from Malt Enterprise who were also there to give their feedback on the presentations on the business plans. So it was a brilliant opportunity for the students to get feedback from the people out there, from the people who have been there, have done it, on the strengths and weaknesses of their business plans. They had already got the feedback from us here at university, perhaps in a more academic context, so to speak, but they got in then the kind of the other side of the coin from the real world, as the people in the real world like to say.
the other thing that I was thinking when I was looking at these students or hearing the discussion, the very interesting discussion that came up afterwards, was how painful it is when you've been working on something for months and months and it's become your baby and you're really convinced about yourself. So to hear somebody, I mean, nobody was rubbishing it because they were quite polite, but to be told, look, you know, this particular aspect is just not going to work. Forget it. But obviously they were quite nice about it and suggested ways that they could sort of correct the weaknesses. But to hear criticism in those contexts is something that I think you have to learn how to cope with as well.
True. As you said, very often these ideas would be their baby. Very often one of the problems, one of the high failure rates of startups is not only because of the financial problems and all of that, but it would simply be because the entrepreneur would have fallen in love with his or her idea. There is a difference between an idea and an opportunity. An idea has to be designed, has to be targeted towards a particular market need. If there is no market need, then there is no opportunity. And it is very, very important that you are open to the feedback, even if it's negative, even if it hurts, even if they tell you it's just not going to work. Okay, there is an element of believing in yourself, believing in your idea and perseverance, but not to the extent that you put on blinkers and you block out everything else. You need to take everything in, perhaps critically, but you do need to listen to feedback and to suggestions, because as you said, many of those suggestions were actually suggestions for improvement. It wasn't a simple matter of, no, this isn't going to work. It was more suggestions of how this could be improved to make it more of an opportunity. And I think they learnt a lot from that.
And in actual fact, it's important to go to people like the experienced entrepreneurs, I think, because I remember reading once in a book about entrepreneurship that if you have an idea and you just turn around to your friend and say, what about this idea? I mean, if he tells you, oh, what a wonderful idea, the chances are that it's not original, that somebody's done it before, that, you know, the reaction to a really good, innovative idea is usually
a bit of an initial shock,
Lord,
and disbelief.
No, forget it. What on earth are you talking about? So, in a way, you want to be talking to people who are prepared to talk about ideas off the wall rather than just your friend next door. Mm-hmm.
Another element about entrepreneurship is foresight, is the ability not only to look at what the market needs are today, now in this moment, but to be able to foresee what the market needs are going to be in the near future, at least. So yes, as you said, some ideas might sound a little bit too novel to some people, but yes, entrepreneurship also involves the ability to see that perhaps this won't be taken as well right now, but it has potential in a couple of months, a couple of years, and then you have to know how to pitch it and when to launch it and how.
I know that you yourself are carrying on your academic career, apart from your lecturing, of course. You've embarked on that very frightening journey, which is called a PhD.
I'd call it very exciting more than frightening.
Yes, well, a bit of both, I think, really, if one would be absolutely honest about it. Which means that you have to be concentrating on this idea, which again, a PhD thesis, again, becomes a bit of an all-consuming, time-consuming effort. What exactly are you doing it on? You said in entrepreneurship, obviously we said generally, but in the particular?
My specific topic is intuition. Intuition and entrepreneurial decision making. I'm looking at the balance, if there is a balance at all, between intuition and rational analysis in the decision making process of entrepreneurs, their opportunity identification and exploitation, which is, I find it absolutely fascinating. And I'm really happy that I've been receiving really, really good feedback as well from other interested stakeholders, not just academics, but I've presented a couple of my ideas at a number of conferences, and the feedback I received was very positive because apparently it generates quite a lot of interest. In fact, intuition is in itself quite an interesting topic. We kind of know intuitively what intuition is, but we're not quite sure. Just to clarify what I mean, it's that gut feeling. It's a feeling you have right down in your stomach when you just know something, but you just don't know why or how you know. The reason why that happens is because in our life, we gather quite a lot of information through learning, through experience, and so on. And that creates a vast pool of knowledge that we wouldn't be aware of at all times. So the gut feeling arises when your unconscious makes links between different patterns. You wouldn't really be aware of what they are, but so you would know without knowing. And this has been cited by many, many entrepreneurs as being vital in their entrepreneurship. In fact, if you look at even popular websites' quotes, for example, if you look up entrepreneurship quotes, it come up with loads and loads of entrepreneurs who speak about their gut feelings, their intuition, and so on and so forth. The academic world, up to very, very recently, kept insisting that, no, it's not how you're supposed to do things. You need to do things rationally. You need to analyze all the information. The only problem is entrepreneurs often don't have very much information, because if they are launching a product, if they have an idea that is really innovative, then what do you really compare it to? Hmm. Okay. Very often they're limited by time constraints. So even if there was the information, they wouldn't really have the time to analyze it all. So they rely very much on their gut instincts, on their gut feelings. So that is those are the processes that I'm looking at.
Well, it sounds absolutely fascinating. I'd like to ask you a few more questions about that. But anyway, I'd like to thank Leonie Baldacchino for coming to talk to us about entrepreneurship today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to today's program. I do hope you can join us again next week for another in the series University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.